Well, I suddenly remembered why it was I have my iPhone in my hand, and it's because I was going to pull up a timer app. And what I thought we could start out doing, and we'll see how this little experiment goes, but I have written down here two, four, six potential topics, drawn from your notes and possibly one I threw in here on my own. And what I thought we could do is quickly go down for our listeners what these six topics are and the 90-second presidential debate format summary of what your position on each issue is, and then we'll dive into each one in depth. But we'll start off with a quick overview of what we're going to talk about and where we're at.
Lead the way.
All right, so our six topics in no particular order, and so you can feel free to grab whichever one first you want. Six topics are minimum wage versus living wage, good idea or bad idea, political extremism, who's really at fault, abortion, a woman's right to choose, or a child that must be protected at all costs, medical care, in favor or not,
Yes!
Supreme Court. And the Constitution. Supreme law of the land or supreme bummer of the land?
Huh? All right, this is like bathroom doors. If I don't understand which side is which, then you failed to properly communicate. Try again.
Okay. Constitution and Supreme Court enforcing possibly outdated ideas upon the nation. Pro or con?
Ah. All right.
And then, because you have a random note written in here,
this is
democracy versus republic.
Yeah, I would like to discuss that. And for the record, it's also actually a very good and timely time. A timely time. It's a timely time to discuss the Supreme Court, considering we've just had a raft of decisions released on a number of contentious topics. You know, usually it's maybe one big one, and then some stuff that nobody really cares that much about, but not so this go round.
And for the part of the duo that considers itself a Supreme Court aficionado, I paid attention to exactly one of those decisions today, and I couldn't actually tell you what the other, however many, I don't even know how many there were, but all of them minus one, I know nothing about.
At least
So.
three headline grabbers. By the way, I think you've misunderstood, and I'm sorry to say this, but you've misunderstood the point of our the title of our show. You are the Vox, and I am the Duo. I'm a Gemini.
Sure.
And yeah, and also, I thought that was clear. Apparently not.
Not entirely. You know, I think we've solved the problem of our last episode of having been too stiff. We're abolishing that right out of the gate.
Clearly, just so long as we budget enough booze into the program, I think we should be fine.
We'll be good. Okay, so which of the six do you want to give your 90-second summary on first, and then I'll respond?
Let's go with the healthcare, just so I'm appalled by it.
Healthcare, go.
Okay. So, healthcare is not like anything else in the market in that if they don't sell it to you, you die. If water were not available at a certain rate, but you know that everyone could afford, then the government should step in. And so normal marketplace functions don't really work here. The common argument is that you have to ration healthcare if you provide universal healthcare, which is to some degree true, but not actually an ethical argument. What it comes down to is some things are more important than money, and human life is, and dignity are some of them. Also, we have a lot of discussions about whether it's possible, which is ridiculous because we live in a world in which there are many functioning healthcare systems. They may not be perfect, but that is a call to fine-tune and fix them, not to let people die. And that essentially is what I have to say about that.
Perfect. Now my time to try to fit it into 90 seconds. So the American healthcare market is not actually a market at all. Healthcare is not different than anything else in the economy, except for the fact that it may be the most ineptly, incompetently overregulated sector of our entire economy, which is reflected in the quote-unquote prices that we pay for the healthcare we receive. The problem with American healthcare isn't that the free market has run amok. The problem with American healthcare is that we have no free market. The other problem with American healthcare is that everyone confuses health insurance with actual healthcare. The problem is all of our money is being siphoned off into a dysfunctional insurance market rather than going to an actual competitive market of care where providers compete to offer critical services, and patients select among those services on the basis of quality, convenience, and price. American healthcare would be far better off if we had an actual functioning market and we abolished the insurance monstrosity that currently sits atop the entire system. As I said before, siphoning money off. Yes, we could set up a system like the European nations or like the Asian nations, but America's always been a different kind of country, and why should we just blindly follow what everyone else does when we could boldly step off and experiment? Healthcare. I will lead off on the next topic. I will grab minimum wage and say that a minimum wage, I think, is something we should abolish and do without. It is a noble-sounding program with several notable flaws. It's a noble-sounding program because it attempts to raise the living standards and the ease of life of all Americans by setting a floor for income. Its notable flaws is that this is a social problem that we've, for some confounding reason, decided to push off on individual businesses who may not actually be set up to provide that kind of a social service, namely paying a high wage. Wages are like anything else in economics when you're talking about buying and selling. The wage is the price for labor that is being bought and that is being sold. When you raise the price of anything, people tend to buy less of it. And this is just as true in the market for labor as it is in the market for pencils or Lamborghinis. If we want to make sure all Americans are working, we should make sure that all Americans can work at the price their employer can afford to pay. And if we think that price is not high enough to provide a standard of living that is what we want, we should provide for that outside of the employment market rather than trying to shoehorn it into the employment market.
The minimum wage. It's the first common, I'd say, mischaracterization is that we are in fact paying for a certain amount of labor, and therefore, you know, your labor is only worth so much. What you are paying for is a person, and if that person is incapable of surviving, then much like an animal, if much like an animal, that person cannot survive on the amount of money that you are paying, then you have run afoul of basic human dignity. I'm open to considering other alternatives to the employment market, but Joe doesn't believe in income redistribution, which means that he is suggesting private charity and so forth. And the problem with that, of course, is that we know that private charity does not pick up the slack. If it did, it would have. Yes, minimum wage might slow economic growth. To people who worship money, this is a problem. But the health and of our nation, and the, or if you will, the good of our country, should not be measured by the stock exchange. And I guess, again, that's all I have to really say about that.
All right. That's it for medical care and minimum wage. Which topic do you want to tackle next?
Let's go with the Supreme Court.
Supreme Court it is. Lead it off.
Okay. Well, I'm actually sympathetic to the whole argument that Joe is about to give, which I won't bother to give, because why would I help him? Ha! But over time, the law, and in the case of the Constitution, they are very broad laws, or it's a very broad framework, has to be applied differently. Joe used this argument to explain why he is not doing a lot of the things that the Bible says he should do, because 2,000 years ago, the situation was very different, so he has to apply the laws in ways that he believes make sense for the modern world. Just so, things change quite a bit in 200 years. The reason, in fact, principles tend to evolve over time. When Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself," This was clearly understood very differently in his time, because we've spent 2,000 years plus working out the implications of it. You mean he's my neighbor as well? You mean her too? You mean I should treat women equally? So on and so forth. As opposed to just calling Samaritans dogs. We have come to understand that equality means giving everybody, votes. And if that involves certain government programs that weren't previously envisioned by the Founding Fathers, so be it. And I'm good.
All right. So, Supreme Court and the Constitution. The Constitution, I believe, was set up to create a broad framework for governing a very diverse group of people with very diverse viewpoints into binding them into a common group. It was not intended to unify and harmonize the entire nation. Rather, it was intended to provide a framework in which everyone could live together happily without stepping on each other's toes too much. Therefore, it sharply limited the amount that a federal unified government could do and greatly increased the scope of what the several separate state governments could do. Now, this is a framework that some think is outdated and may be outdated in parts and in areas, but the Constitution provided an amendment mechanism to update it for the time. The only requirement for the amendment mechanism is that you be able to get enough agreement throughout the states that this is the proper way to further unify, centralize, or change things in order to move forward. That has proven to be a very high but not insurmountable barrier, as we do have at least 26 amendments to the Constitution today. So my argument would be, if the Constitution is too limiting as is, the correct thing to do is to change it, and if you can't get broad enough agreement to change it, then perhaps what you want to do isn't the right thing to do.
What's next?
What's next? Let's see. We've got political extremism, we've got abortion, and we've got democracy versus republic.
Let's go with political extremism, shall we?
Go.
Well, first, I would like to make sure that my what has brought us here today is understood. A wacko shot at the Republican House members, and a lot of liberal rhetoric was blamed on Twitter for it. For example, the Shakespeare Show, in which there's a Donald Trump lookalike, or Kathy Griffin, I don't know, raising up a Trump head. My point was that whereas you can, and people do, especially on Breitbart.com, point to individual examples of one party's members engaging in very questionable rhetoric, the promotion of political violence is actually essentially a part of the Republican Party's platform. And so whether or not you agree that that causes violence, I think on any fair judgment, the Republican Party is definitely more engaged in it than the liberals ever could be said to be. Also, that may seem like walking back my overall feeling, so I'll just go ahead and cop to being relieved that the victims of this unfortunate tragedy are for once people who actually had a hand in creating the conditions for it, as opposed to an elementary school full of children. Thank you, and I'm finished with that one.
So, political extremism. Yes, the Republican Party does support the Second Amendment and does believe, as do I, that the Second Amendment was originally written in the Constitution as a check on a tyrannical government, that the people were not to be deprived of arms, they were not to be disarmed so that they could be easily tyrannized. This is a matter of historical record, and I think it's I think it would be wrong on either side to try to pretend that it's not part of the Second Amendment's history. That being said, in recent political history, I would say that it has been the political left that has been far more engaged in political violence than the political right has been, globally looking at the communist and socialist movements, and even in the U.S. within the last 30 or 40 years, most of the demonstrations that turn violent, I would dare say all, involving Molotov cocktails, smashed windows, overturned burning cars, professors literally chased out of their classrooms, has all been on the political left, not on the political right. And that is the left that has had recently a strong debate over whether or not it is okay or even mandatory to punch Nazis, and that the left is deeply involved in a climate of violence, that this is the first actual shooting I remember, but it is not easy to separate that from the violence overall.
Check. What else?
Democracy and Republic or abortion?
Democracy! I'm in favor of it. Joe is not. There is a system in place, the Republic, which I will not explain the inner workings of, because I assume that you all understand it. And at the time, it was used... I think it came about in no small part because it is how we got our nation to form, whether you consider that a good reason or not, moving forward. What it comes down to is that each person should have one vote. And at the federal level, for example, the president's actions influence all of us. There's no credible reason why the good people of Wisconsin or some other state should have more say in proportionally than anyone else as far as who the president should be. Or there should not be a reason why the people of New York City should have less say than in a densely packed area than less sparsely populated county. At the local level, sure, you can make your own laws, but we really do need to switch to a democratic system of electing federal officials. Thank you. Including senators and whatnot.
So democracy versus republic. As a good Republican, lowercase r, I don't trust that all of you are familiar with what a republic is. And this is, in fact, the essence of republicanism, is that we trust people individually on the issues they know the most about, but we don't trust large groups of people, because large groups of people turn into mobs that are easily swayed by demagogues, and often wake up in the morning regretting the vote that they've just taken. The will of the people is better when filtered through multiple levels of reflection and sober, mature judgment by those who represent the people at a remove rather than the people directly themselves. Therefore, I am a small r Republican. As to the matter of whether or not New York City should completely dominate New York State politics, and indeed whether New York City should dominate East Coast politics just by virtue of the 7 million people that are packed within its borders, I vote no. Communities are different. Large communities think and act differently than small rural communities do, and small rural communities shouldn't have their way of life dictated to them just by virtue of the fact that they are limited in number and sparsely spread out over an area of land. So having a Republican system that gives small groups of people a veto over large groups of people is indeed healthy for the body politic, since it gives a chance for people to live their lives as they wish without being dictated to by others forming resentments.
Okay, and that leaves abortion. First of all, the argument for abortion revolves around a religious understanding of life. There is no clear point at which life begins, and while you can make a strong argument for where that point falls, the idea that the soul enters a woman's womb at conception has no basis in scientific fact. I mean, where exactly does the woman fail you here? Does the soul attach to the egg? Is that before it attaches to the, you know, the wall of the womb? How exactly does this work? Nobody knows, because this is all stuff that people say in churches. It should be a woman's right to choose, seeing as how it is a secular matter. And I will add that when democratic, which is to say liberal, administrations are in power, the abortion rate actually plummets. It falls in general. It's been going downward in as we move, but you can make a you can see pretty clearly from graphs that the executive decisions that occur as a sort of seesaw back and forth seem to result in fewer abortions when the blue party does it. So if you actually support these things, then it's time to get with the not 21st, the 20th and maybe 19th century, and go with sex education and the promotion of a woman's safety. Also, and again, I'm not entirely I'm not an abortion fundamentalist, I guess you would say. I mean, again, there is a point, I think, at which life can be said to begin. If the child is viable outside of the womb, then certainly I think a compelling case can be made that it's time to protect it. But there is no rational explanation that can be given for why the thing that exists within a woman immediately after conception is life. There are all sorts of life forms that do not have the rights that we accord that in some cultures. Thank you.
All right. So abortion. I actually find it interesting that you led off with a soul. That's not exactly what I would have expected from an atheist, but I'll run with it. I would argue that life is a biological question rather than a spiritual or a theological question, and that life does start at the moment of conception, because when the sperm and when the egg join and implant in the uterus, in the uterine wall, that is the point where you have a separate biological entity with separate DNA and a separate development path from the mother. It is dependent on the mother at that point in its life, but it is distinctly biologically separate from her. It grows, it divides, it develops, and as time progresses, it divides more and more and more, and the cells become more and more and more specialized, but they do have that DNA template from the moment of conception. Therefore, what is growing inside the mother is a separate and distinct life that is worthy of protection from the very beginning. And so I would say I am an anti-abortion, a pro-life absolutist. I would make an exception for the life of the mother, but for nothing else, because that is a separate life that deserves to be respected and protected.
All right. Well, that's done.